You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight at 7, it's Reveal. Tonight, the U.S. Department of Justice says it will reduce and eventually end its use of private prisons. In light of this, Reveal returns to an investigation of medical negligence in private prisons for non-citizens and the shift in immigration enforcement that gave rise to these prisons in the first place. That's coming up tonight at 7 on the Ideas Network.
First, advances in better breast imaging have led to a change in how often many women may need to get mammograms. While there are individual risk factors to take into account, it seems that many women who are past childbearing age can take the diagnostic test every 2 or 3 years. For some women, though, annual mammograms may still be important.
These new recommendations actually fit what UW Health has been advocating already. And here to talk about their approach is Dr. Elizabeth Burnside. She's on the faculty of the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health in the Department of Radiology. And she's also vice chair of health services and outcomes and a member of the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Burnside, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So before these new recommendations, what advice were women given about when to get mammograms?
So I think it's important to point out that this new study, which was published in a journal called the Annals of Internal Medicine, came out. It's a single data point. It's not actually a new guideline. So I think that it's important to emphasize that the guidelines themselves haven't changed. But I think before we talk about this new article and the guidelines, it's important for your listeners to know a little bit of background. So first of all, mammography is the best way to diagnose breast cancer early, and it saves lives in women over 40, but it's definitely not perfect. And I want to emphasize to your listeners that the trade-offs in mammography can be complex. So it's not perfect because there are false positives and false negatives. And this article points out that understanding these trade-offs is important, but we just have to be careful to understand it's not really changing what's recommended in terms of the guidelines.
So who is it who makes the ultimate recommendations?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as your listeners probably have heard on past shows, there are several guidelines out there, and they conflict, and it's very confusing. So there are a couple of several groups that make these guidelines, and in general, these groups do a systematic review of all the data that's out there. So some of these groups include the United States Preventive Services Task Force, which recommends screening with mammography every other year from age 50 to 74. But the American Cancer Society differs slightly by recommending annual screening mammography from 40 to 54. Other bodies, other groups recommend annual screening from age 40 still. So these guidelines still conflict. This new article, though, uses modeling technologies to sort of help us get some insights into the trade-offs.
Well, let's talk about those trade-offs and what they might be. I mean, what would be the downside of a woman getting a mammography annually? It seems on the face of it, you check it out, you see whether or not there's anything worrisome there, and you have peace of mind. So what could go wrong?
Yeah, it's a great question. So mammography downsides are false positives. They come in sort of two flavors. One is a recall from your screening mammogram. So about 10% of women get a notification. They get a letter or a phone call letting them know they need more imaging. So that can be pretty anxiety provoking. And then a small proportion of those women would go on to biopsy. And we call it a false positive because these women don't have breast cancers. There are also false negatives, so mammography failing to detect cancer when it's there. So those are the downsides, but the upside is that it's well established that there's a mortality reduction, so it saves lives from breast cancer. So one has to balance those benefits with those downsides.
And let's talk about this new study. The takeaway being from the study sounds like a large group of women may not, according to the study, need to get a mammography every year, need to get it annually. So what did it say?
Yeah, so before I tell you about the study, let me tell you about one other thing that's important to know to understand it in detail. So one characteristic on a mammogram is a woman's breast density. So breast density refers to the characteristics of the breast tissue seen on mammography. These characteristics are assessed by the radiologist when we interpret a mammogram, and it's recorded in every mammogram report. So some women have very dense tissue and it looks white on the mammogram. Others have less of that dense tissue that that looks white, and the mammogram looks more black or gray. So this breast density has been found to be a risk factor for breast cancer. There are other risk factors for breast cancer that we think about. For example, family history, age, race, whether a woman has had a prior breast biopsy, and others. So this article looked at all of those risk factors and using simulation modeling, which I'll tell you a little bit about, helped to understand what the trade-offs would be when screening at different frequencies, so every year, every other year, or every 3 years.
So looking at heightened risk of breast cancer and how dense the breast tissue is, so taking those groups of women there, how does that factor into what this study found about how effective a mammography might be or who could wait a little longer?
Right. So I think before we talk about the exact findings, let me tell you a little bit about these simulation models, too. So the simulation models that are used are designed to look at a population of women, and that population of women can be quite large, and it uses data from studies that have gone before. So the simulation models enable us to look at women with different risks and different breast densities. And what the study did find was that in women with high risk factors and high breast density, that annual screening mammography saved 15 to 20 breast cancer deaths per 1,000 women. So that's a lot. In women who had less dense breast tissue and were at lower risk, annual mammography saved less lives, 5 deaths, as compared to 3 deaths when women had mammography every 3 years. So those are a lot of numbers, but what the study said was that the trade-offs for women who had low breast density and low risk were different. Less lives saved, but more false positives. Does that make sense?
I think so, and we'll dig into it a little bit more as we talk to Dr. Elizabeth Burnside from the UW Carbone Cancer Center, talking about a new study and what it could say about how often women should get mammograms. And as we're learning here, it's not women in general, it's specific categories of women, depending on how dense the breast tissue is and how high that risk of cancer might be. And so, Dr. Burnside, when you look at this compared to all of these organizations that call for annual screening, and if you're a woman who is concerned about screening for cancer yourself, if you hear that any deaths are saved from the mammography, what's the case then for maybe not doing it every year?
That's the crux of the matter. It's this trade-off between lives saved or breast cancer deaths avoided and false positives. So the authors of this study made a judgment that there was a certain sort of optimal threshold between these benefits, these lives saved, and these false positives. And that's sort of the challenge of this study. One thing that we know is more mammography, at least starting with annual mammography, will save lives. But it's offset by increasing false positives as you increase the frequency of mammography. So I think that's one of the sort of things that surprised me about this study, that there was a hard line drawn on the right threshold between these lives saved and false positives. And in general, we've been saying that there is no optimal threshold. It's hard to draw an optimal threshold, but in this study, that optimal threshold was sort of set.
We're talking now with Dr. Elizabeth Burnside from the UW Carbone Cancer Center, looking at a new study that calls into question how often women should get mammograms.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been getting a mammogram as often as is recommended by health policy, by your physician? If you fall into a lower risk group, would getting less frequent mammograms over time make you more likely to get them at all? Does getting them less often make you nervous? Are you confused by what you've heard in the media about guidelines on breast cancer screenings? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll be back with more of this conversation after a short break here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. We're continuing our discussion now about a new study looking at who needs to get mammograms and how often.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you gotten mammograms as often as your doctor has recommended? Why or why not? Are you confused by how guidelines have evolved over the last couple of decades? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. Dr. Elizabeth Burnside is with us from the Carbone Cancer Center.
And Dr. Burnside, this is your area of expertise. How do you make sense of this new study based on what you've seen and experienced and then the women you've worked with?
I think what we try to emphasize at the UW is caring for patients using a team approach. So talking to women as they approach the age of 40 about their risk and about their values, understanding what's important to them is a good place to start. Women, some get anxious with callbacks and with false positives. If we can help them understand that in advance, that can make things better. And some women highly value any small amount of mortality benefit that they might get by screening. So it's such an individual decision. That is really how we try to approach it. And you alluded to the way that UW manages their guidelines. We try to use that sort of patient-centered and very thoughtful approach when discussing screening mammography as women approach the age of 40.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Lori on the line in Crandon. Lori, hi.
Hi. Yes, I actually have a comment and a question. So I'll start with my comment. When I hear that these studies are taking place, it makes me really nervous with the way insurance companies are now kind of dictating, you know, how many tests you have in a year. I'm referring to all different kinds of stuff.
Lori, I'm going to jump in. We're having a tough time hearing you, but I think what you're getting at there is you're concerned that with a study like this, a woman who wants a mammogram every year, gives her peace of mind, might not have insurance coverage. The insurance might not pay for it. Is that going to be an issue here, Dr. Burnside?
I think that is a concern. One of the things that comes out of this study is, again, we realize that annual mammography saves the most lives but has the most false positives. If women know that and their value system is such that they want to reap that benefit, insurance hopefully will continue to cover that, the ability to have annual screening mammography. And importantly, the guidelines support that. The American Cancer Society supports the fact that women in their 40s should get screening, and then after 50, annual mammography should be an option. But I think that some of the guidelines and some of these articles, which pick a threshold and aren't sort of thinking about women's values, might have that effect, that insurance might not cover that. And I think that that definitely is something that's important for women to speak out about.
And we're getting a little short on time here. I want to make sure we get in another call. Molly, just briefly in Madison, you're next. Hi, Molly.
Hi. I'm just calling because I think I'd probably fall into one of the higher risk categories. And I, for one, have had a call back, but I sure don't feel like that would be a disincentive to me to have regular checkups. I mean, dealing with, you know, a couple hours of anxiety, it, to me, is much preferable than having something missed or becoming more advanced because you don't have the regular checkup.
Molly, thanks so much for that question. Molly's saying she's in a high-risk category. She doesn't mind the anxiety. To her, that's not a trade-off she's too concerned about. What do you say to that, Dr. Burnside?
I think that she sounds like she's very informed, and talking to your doctor about your risk and about your values helps you understand them, and then it sounds like it's an experience that mammography is an experience that she feels is something that's warranted and comfortable for her.
And Dr. Burnside, just 30 seconds left here. Anything new that we should be looking for on the horizon when it comes to breast health?
You know, we do have new technologies that are starting to help us improve that balance of harms and benefits. At UW, we're doing digital breast tomosynthesis, which is a new technology that looks like in the early publications, which are getting to be quite high quality, it decreases false positives and increases cancer detection. So we hope that it will continue to see that that's a win-win.
Dr. Burnside, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Elizabeth Burnside. She's on faculty at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health in the Department of Radiology. And she's also vice chair of health services and outcomes and a member of the UW Carbone Cancer Center.